And then we'll get ready to open up the webinar right now.
I got to stop putting my mouse over that window because it goes, it zooms ahead when the mouse is on that window. So I believe we're live, but let's give people just a few minutes to trickle in. I know we have a lot of attendees. So if people don't mind, we'll let people trickle in before we officially start. I see our number of participants has topped 110, so I think we should go ahead and get started. My name is Eric Brunvand. I'm a program director in the CNS division within SIES, the Computer and Information Science and Engineering Directorate at the National Science Foundation. Welcome to this webinar on our new SIES Core Large Project solicitation that has just been released. Before we start, I'll just quickly give you a quick heads up about the agenda. So we'll start with a welcome from our NSF Assistant Director for SIES, Dr. Margaret Martinosi. We'll then have some intro and background to this particular solicitation, talk about some details, and then have some time for Q&A. And so before anyone asks, of course, we will be recording this, this webinar, and the slides will be available on the webinar page after we finish. So with that, I would like to turn it over to Margaret Martinosi for a quick welcome.
Thanks very much, Eric, and good morning and good afternoon, everyone. It's wonderful to be here with all of you. So I'm Margaret Martinosi, and I lead the Computer and Information Science and Engineering, or SIES, Directorate here at NSF. I can look down the participants list and see a lot of wonderful colleagues out there, as well as new colleagues as well. In my role, it's really a privilege to be able to help you all catalyze what's next for SIES research areas, and then try to create programs, create solicitations that help you meet those needs, meet those opportunities. So this SIES large solicitation is one of those. It represents a lot of work and a lot of careful design thinking. In particular, in analyzing our portfolio of awards and seeing where our proposals came in, we recognized that the SIES core smalls and mediums were good opportunities. They were valued opportunities. But then there was a pretty big gap between that and what's next for SIES researchers, namely the Expeditions in Computing program as a general opportunity. So we wanted to give you all a chance to think about ideas at that scale that sits between core mediums and expeditions. And we particularly wanted to give you the chance to think about SIES core proposals that spanned different topic areas without feeling like you had to sort of silo yourselves within one of our divisions. So we know that there are a lot of great opportunities in the field that this solicitation can cover. And we know that you probably have a lot of those great ideas queued up. So we're really looking forward to receiving them. I just want to take a moment to thank some folks, namely Eric Brunvand, who chaired the working group that led to this solicitation, Anne von Lehmann, Hector Munoz-Avila, Prabha Balakrishnan, Shankar Basu, Daniela Zhao, and Scott Acton, as well as a lot of the SIES leadership that offered a lot of input and guidance towards this solicitation. We're really excited about being able to offer something at this scale and look forward to working with you on what's next. And with that, I will hand it back to Eric and the group. Eric?
Thank you. That's great. I'm going to share my screen again so we can see the slides. So I just want to repeat my thanks to the working group, and note that the working group that developed this solicitation is spread across three divisions within SIES, the CNS, CCF, and IIS divisions. So thank you to those program officers working on that solicitation. Before we talk about the actual solicitation, our charge as a working group was to consider what Margaret said to try and fill this gap between the current core medium, core small and core medium programs and the larger center and expedition type programs. We were also asked to in solicitation to encourage, but not require, collaboration across different divisions within size. And so if you have an idea that naturally spans between CCF and IIS, for example, this was an opportunity to be thinking about those cross-division types of research. And we also wanted to strongly encourage collaboration across different institutions and different types and scales of institutions. So it's not a requirement, but we do want you to think very hard about whether the large-scale research that you're proposing can naturally fit across R1 institutions and R2 institutions and minority serving institutions and community colleges and other types of institutions that may not be as easy to incorporate in a small or medium project. So that's what our charge was. The actual solicitation is NSF 23-524, which you can go and find on the NSF website. The solicitation specifically invites proposals on bold new ideas tackling ambitious and fundamental research problems that are well suited to a large-scale, integrated, collaborative effort. And so when you take that sentence apart, what one of the things that this means is that the teams that you're proposing for these large proposals should consist of two or more investigators or other senior personnel with complementary expertise. And the two or more is important. We'll have some questions answered later on in the presentation. And one of the questions will be, may I submit a sole PI proposal in this program? And the answer is no. We would like you to be thinking about larger scale projects with at least two and probably more investigators involved in the proposed project. We would also like to strongly encourage you to come together within or across disciplines and or institutions. So we would like you to think about whether the larger scale projects that you have in mind naturally span the different divisions at the NSF within the size directorate. And we'd also like you to think about, as I mentioned, whether a spectrum of different institution types makes sense for this larger scale project that you have in mind. And then this phrase will, if you read the solicitation carefully, this phrase will be sprinkled liberally through the solicitation, which is that we would like the impact of the results from your proposed research to exceed the sum of the individual contributions. I'm not sure exactly how we measure this, but it is very important for a large-scale investment from the National Science Foundation to think about these large projects as something that really couldn't be done on a smaller scale. And so the actual results that will come out of this are greater than simply having three or four people working on their own projects. We really want to encourage you to think about how these large projects must require different people, different institutions, different ideas, different ways of thinking to come together in a way that just isn't possible in a smaller or a medium proposal. These proposals are large in respect to the small and medium programs that already exist. These are programs with budgets from $3 million to $5 million up to 5 years duration. Notice that the $3 million is a lower bound. We don't really want you to submit something that could be submitted to, for example, the medium program at $1.2 million. So the budget is required to be within that window, $3 million to $5 million. And of course, that budget needs to be justified in the proposal as to why that budget is required to do this scale of research. We expect that we will make approximately four awards in 2023, with the competition for these core programs, large projects, proposals coming every other year. So we have the first due date this year, February 28th, 2023, and then there will be another competition in 2025 and another in 2027. With roughly the same amount of funding, $20 million for an anticipated four awards between $3 and $5 million. Now, this is part of the SIZE core programs. It's a larger scale grant, but it's a SIZE-wide, directorate-wide program. And so one question that will come up is, what do we mean by the core programs within SIZE? There are a lot of programs in SIZE, but the core programs are the ones listed on this slide from CCF, CNS, and IAS divisions. You'll notice that the OAC office is not listed here. They're not participating in this round of proposals. So the proposals should align with one of the core programs within CCF, CNS, or IAS. And you'll notice that within those divisions, we've listed specific programs that constitute the core. And that's important because some of these divisions have other programs, such as the SATSE program, for example, which lives across multiple divisions, but has its home in CNS, but that's not considered one of the core programs. And so we would hope that your proposals align with one or more of these core programs listed here on the slide. There is, in this solicitation, a limit on the number of proposals you may be involved with. So an individual PI may be PI, co-PI, or senior personnel in no more than one core programs, large projects proposal submitted to each deadline window. So that means that in 2023, you may be involved in only one proposal in this program. Now, importantly, this limit does not intersect with any of the other limits from other programs. And so even if you've reached your limit of proposals in the small and medium core programs, you may still be involved in up to one core program proposal. And that limit is per deadline window. So if you submit a proposal in 2023, you may be involved in another proposal submitted in 2025 and another proposal in 2027, but the limit is one involvement per person per window. And it's unique to this program. It does not count towards other limits that might be in other programs. The program vision, this is a bit of a restatement, but I think it's important that the core program seeks a large project, seeks to fill a gap between these small and mediums and the larger scale. And the proposals that will succeed in this program will be very clear about why the research proposed requires a large team of researchers and students, and why the impact of the results will be more than just the individual contributions from each of the collaborating PIs. So it's very important in your proposal to be very clear about why the scale of the research you're proposing requires this kind of support and why it requires the kind of collaboration across different, perhaps, institutions and departments and divisions within the NSF to actually succeed at that research. The three specific goals listed in the solicitation are, again, to address groundbreaking research that can only really be successfully addressed in these larger teams, to encourage collaboration across these different kinds of campuses, across different schools and other organizations, and of course, to align with the SIZE interest in broadening participation, to also foster activities to broaden participation in research and education. Now, with that, I've tried to anticipate some of your questions. And so the rest of the slides will sort of follow this, what we think might be frequently asked questions, and maybe answer those before we open it up to your question from the audience. Does my proposal have to be multidisciplinary? No, it doesn't have to be. If you have a large project in mind that really is within a single discipline, but that still requires a larger team and a larger scale investment, you may propose that. The solicitation says that we're looking for transformative ideas on any single or multidisciplinary topic. Now, that being said, we sort of expect that many of the proposals coming in will be multidisciplinary, but it's not a requirement. As I said previously, proposals need to make a convincing case that the collaborative contributions will be greater than the sum of the individual contributions. That's the important part, not that it necessarily is required to span disciplines. Does my budget need to be above $3 million? Yes, it does. There's a lower bound and an upper bound on the budgets for this program. We specifically want to encourage proposals that must have this level of investment to be successful. And we do not want to see programs that are proposals that could have been submitted to the small and medium projects, but just sort of scaled up to hit this magic number. Your budget cannot exceed $5 million and the term of the project cannot exceed 5 years. But yes, you do have to be proposing something that requires an investment between $3 and $5 million. May I submit as a sole PI? No, you may not. The solicitation requires that teams consist of two or more investigators with complementary skill sets and a team of students and/or postdoc researchers. These large projects are expected, and this is again text from the solicitation, large projects are expected to serve as nexus points for collaborative efforts, creating a forum through which investigators come together to combine their creative talents in a transformative way for large-scale research agendas. So we really do expect multiple PIs to be involved in these larger scale proposals. Are there specific requirements in the proposal with respect to this team that you're assembling? Yes. Large proposal must define the roles of all members of the team and the synergies amongst them in a management and coordination plan. So this is a required document that is uploaded in addition to your proposal. It has a 3-page limit. It should be submitted as supplementary documentation. And the details of what go into that up to three-page document are in the solicitation. Importantly, note that if a core program's large project proposal is submitted that does not include a separate management and coordination plan, that proposal will be returned without review. This is a required element that you talk about how the team is going to work together and why that team is an important part of what you're doing. Who may submit proposals? Well, institutions of higher education, that means 2- and 4-year colleges, including community colleges, that are accredited in and having a campus located in the United States. This is general NSF language for institutions of higher education located in the US. Also, nonprofit, non-academic organizations, such as independent museums, observatories, research labs, et cetera, that are associated with research activities are also eligible to submit. So it doesn't have to be a college, but it does have to be nonprofit. For-profit entities are not allowed to submit to this program. Again, very general NSF guidelines for almost any proposal coming into the NSF. In terms of individual personnel, at the time of submission, any PI, co-PI, or other senior personnel must hold either a tenured or tenure track position or a primary full-time paid appointment in a research or teaching position at a US-based campus. Individuals with primary appointments at for-profit, non-academic organizations, or at an overseas branch are not eligible. Now, typically what this means is if you are at an institution, whether it's a nonprofit or whether it's an institution of higher education, your Office of Sponsored Research will define who on that campus is allowed, can be somebody who can submit proposals. And so the NSF really says you should hold this appointment, but it's really up to your own sponsored research office to define on your campus whether your primary full-time paid appointment in a research or teaching position is suitable for submitting proposals to the NSF. And if your sponsored research office says that you're allowed, then you're allowed, and NSF will be happy to take your proposal. Is broadening participation important? Yes. The size core programs, large projects are envisioned to promote organizational collaborations and linkages between campuses and schools and to foster activities to broaden participation in research and education. This comes again from the solicitation. So yes, it is important to include broadening participation in computing. Are there broadening participation in computing plan requirements in your submission? Again, yes, each large project must include a broadening participation in computing plan. Read the solicitation carefully in that section where it talks about the five questions that you should be able to answer positively in terms of your broadening participation in computing plan. Your plan should have some talk about the goal and the context, the intended populations, the strategy for achieving the goals of your BPC plan, how you're going to measure it, and how the PIs for that proposal will be engaged in that plan. We encourage you to leverage departmental plans as verified by bpcnet.org. And just a little bit of extra information about what that means. It turns out that you can submit your broadening participation in computing plan either as a standalone plan or as a connected plan. A standalone plan does not include a departmental plan. Instead, you have a single document up to 3 pages, which defines all of your BPC activities that you plan to engage with in your project. A connected plan, there's a lot of words on this slide, but you can go back and read them later, or you can check it out in the solicitation. A connected plan is connected to a verified departmental plan. So more and more departments out there have what are called verified departmental BPC plans that have been vetted and verified on bpcnet.org. If your department has a verified BPC plan, you may submit a smaller connected plan in your proposal. You don't have to repeat all the parts of the verified plan that have already been uploaded to bpcnet.org. Instead, you can focus on your particular involvement as a PI and how you will engage with that plan. So the other important thing about these connected plans or standalone plans is that as you develop your team, perhaps across different institutions, if every PI is at an institution with a verified plan, you may submit a connected plan. If any of the institutions that you're involved with do not have a verified plan, then you must submit a standalone plan. So if any of the PIs are involved in a with this proposal are at an institution without a verified plan, even if everybody else does have a verified plan, the proposal must have a standalone plan in that case. Can I include BPC activities in my budget? Yes. A portion of the budget, this is again right from the solicitation, a portion of the budget for each large proposal may be used to engage in relevant BPC expertise to help plan, organize, coordinate, and execute BPC activities. And so, absolutely yes, if you propose lots of exciting BPC activities and don't include any budget to actually engage in those activities, that may actually be looked at with a tiny bit of suspicion. So if you're proposing things that do require some budget, please include some of your budget for those BPC activities. May my proposal be longer than 15 pages? This is looking like a lot of information that I'm trying to put in my large project proposal. And the answer is yes. The large project's proposals may be up to 20 pages. So this is 5 more pages than the small and medium proposals, but because these are larger projects with, we assume, a larger motivation for why that large project team is interesting and why this is a project that merits larger funding, we have a larger limit so you can expand on those details a little bit. So your project description may be up to 20 pages for this program. Are there additional review criteria that the panels will look at when they review these proposals? Yes. These are also listed in the solicitation. These are very important because when the panels look at these large proposals, they will be specifically asked to comment on these 3 additional things beyond the traditional intellectual merits and broader impacts, which are always part of a panel review of NSF proposals. So in addition to the intellectual merit and broader impact, they'll be asked to comment on the extent to which the project scope justifies the level investment and whether the project team is the right size and consistency for the proposed research. They will be asked to comment on whether the management and coordination plan, remember that's a required element, adequately demonstrates that the participating investigators will work synergistically. We have seen in the past larger projects where the individual investigators seem to go off and do their own thing, and they only meet back together at the end of the project to see what they've done. That is not appropriate for this kind of project. We'd like to see information about how the different participants in the research will work synergistically throughout the project and how that will be handled. And then they will also be asked to comment on whether the BPC plan meaningfully addresses the five elements of a strong BPC plan. And notice that those five elements include not only what you plan to do, but what is the intended population that you hope to engage? What's your strategy? How are you going to measure that? And how are the individual PIs going to engage with that plan? And so those will be additional review criteria that all the panelists will be asked to comment on. And finally, my proposal focuses on topic A. Does that fit the solicitation? Well, it depends. If you have any questions about this, we encourage you to send a project summary to the program directors in the primary division or program that you are applying to. Note that proposals need to be within the scope of these core programs listed on a previous slide. In particular, and this is not an exhaustive list, but in particular, if your proposal is primarily robotics, there's a program, the Future of Robotics, what's the second R, Hector? the Future of Robotics Research program in IAS that has a large scale program that you can apply to. The SATC program has a larger scale program that you can apply to if your primary results are in cybersecurity, and the same as in cyber physical systems. If your large scale project is primarily large because of infrastructure, there are other infrastructure focused programs such as the SIES Community Research Infrastructure, CCRI, and the Medium Research Infrastructure, MRI program that you can apply to. And so really we're hoping that these large projects being proposed will fit within the scope of the core programs within the three SIES participating divisions. But if you have a question, program officers are always happy to review a short summary of your project idea and give you some feedback on whether it seems to fit the program. And with that, I think we'll move to a Q&A session and see what questions you have that maybe I haven't already addressed. So I will stop sharing my screen so that we can see who's answering the questions and see what questions have been put in the chat that have not already been answered.
Eric, if I may, I would like to answer two questions. One is the question was, does it mean that large proposal is not counted towards the limit of two proposals limiting core size? And Eric already went through the presentation, but to answer it, yes, it doesn't count. So you submitted two, small or medium, that doesn't count towards the large. So it doesn't count, and that's a separate competition. The second question is, because in the slide we say 2023, 2025, and then somebody was pointing out that in the actual solicitation, the submission window is between September 16, 2024 and September 30th, 2024. Please follow the dates of the solicitation. What happened is we were thinking of the fiscal year 2025, which is where we will be funding the proposal. But please follow the dates as indicated in the solicitation.
Thank you. That's extremely important. I had forgotten that subtlety that we have a spring submission deadline in the first round and that we're moving it to September in the subsequent two rounds. So yes. The dates in the solicitation are the actual dates, not what I said. an anonymous attendee has asked, with 20 million, we could fund about 35 small projects. Does NSF have any data or insights on if investing in four large projects will have an equivalent or greater impact? That's a very hard thing to evaluate, I think. And yes, there are people within the NSF looking at that question. That question comes up pretty much with all of the larger programs. So the AI institutes and the center level awards and the expeditions awards and the SATC Frontiers awards. It's a little hard to evaluate exactly how this fits, but there is a feeling within the NSF that there is value in these larger projects to combine the research synergistically in a way that just isn't possible within the smaller awards. So be assured that people are looking at that question. And the fact that we have a brand new solicitation in this area, in this project size, means that we think there is some value in this, and we hope to get some really great proposals from you that show us why that's true. Please go ahead.
May I add that at the end of the three cycles, there will be an evaluation of this program also?
Yes.
But at this point, this is not a permanent program.
That's a very good point. This is a program that has a three-cycle plan for offering this program in every other year for three submission cycles, and it will be reviewed and reevaluated at that point. Question, do we submit a single BPC plan for all the institutions, or each university collaborator submits a separate one? Is there anyone here from EWF? No. I believe the answer is there's a single BPC plan for each proposal that is submitted. And so that means that the BPC plan, I believe the answer is that there is one single BPC plan submitted with the proposal, but I may not be 100% sure.
Thank you. You're correct. It's one for all the collaborators.
Good. And then related to that, of course, did I understand correctly, the standalone plan must not include information about department level activities? No, that's not what it means. A standalone plan can include information about department level activities. The issue with a standalone plan is that it must address all five of the questions that are going to be asked of a BPC plan, the context, the intended population, the strategy, the evaluation, and the PI participation. A connected plan can shortcut that a little bit by not including the portions of those questions that are already in the departmental plan. But the standalone plan can absolutely include information about departmental activities. The hope is that more and more institutions will have a verified plan so that that information will already be in bpcnet.org. But please do talk about department level activities if your department has not yet had a verified plan uploaded. What is the range for the portion of the proposed BPC plan in the budget? Totally up to you. I think the answer that I often give my students to almost any question is it depends. So it depends on the scale of the BPC activities that you're proposing and how those activities relate to the larger project that you're proposing. And so I don't think there's a magic number for that. It really depends on what you're proposing. Is a standalone BPC plan 2 pages total or 2 pages for each institution? The standalone plan is, Bruce, do you know the answer to this question?
No, it's 2 pages total.
2 pages total. Okay. So,
and because you remember that you're only answering the question to one of the five questions. The other four are already answered in the
department. No, this was a question about the standalone plan, not the connected plan.
Well, the standalone plan is up to 3 pages, not 2 pages.
Okay, very good. On the BPC plan, what is your guidance if not all the collaborating departments?
Becker has his hand up. I don't know if he wants to comment now or later.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see that.
Answer some of the questions. There is a question that says, the solicitation mentions that, they quote the solicitation, proposals should identify a computer and information science and engineering grant challenge. And the question is this a reference to a specific list of grant challenges published by NSF? And the answer is no, it is not specific to that list. So you can come up with your own grand challenge. It doesn't have to be one of those posted there. Thank you.
Excellent. We have a question that asks if we need to include an explicit broader impact section in the 20-page main body of the proposal. Yes, absolutely. All NSF proposals to any of the core programs must have a section titled intellectual merit and a section titled broader impacts in the main body of the proposal. Let's see. There are a lot of questions about the BPC plans. This is interesting. I wish we had somebody from EWF to answer specifically all these questions. If one participating university has a verified plan, but collaborating university doesn't, what should be done? The solicitation actually has specific language about that. If not every participating university has a verified plan, then you must include a standalone plan in that proposal. The only time you can include a connected plan is if every participating university has a verified plan. Let's see. Aside from the usual advice to make the budget commensurate with the natural scale of the plan work, is there any advantage to a $3 million versus $5 million budget or vice versa? I think the best answer for that is there is a solicitation-specific criterion that the panelists will be asked to evaluate that says specifically, is the level of investment asked for in the proposal appropriate for the level of research being proposed? And so I don't think there's any specific advantage to asking for a smaller or larger amount, but the panelists will be commenting on whether the budget that you're requesting is appropriate for the size of team and the research that you're doing. So I think the general answer with almost any budget is make sure that the panel understands why that budget is necessary and not that it has hit some magic number. Hector.
I would like to answer another question. The question is, aside from the usual advice to make the budget commensurate to the natural scale of the plan projects, is there an advantage of submitting one and 3 million versus 5 million or vice versa? So the answer is, ask for what you need to perform the project. Obviously within the 3 million to 5 million, don't go short or don't go high. Go ask exactly for what you need to perform the project in the best possible form, and don't try to play that game because it doesn't work.
We have a question: can proposals request support for a staff programmer? Are there specific considerations or review criteria to be aware of? I believe yes, you may ask for support for a staff programmer. These larger research projects, in fact, probably more often than small or medium proposals, will have staff support as part of the organization and the proposed team that will be working on these larger projects. So yes, I don't think there are any specific considerations other than the standard criteria that if you have additional staff support of any sort in your budget, that needs to be justified not only in the body of the proposal, but also carefully called out in the budget justification portion of your budget. So you've all seen, when you submit a budget for a proposal, that there is an additional budget justification page attached to that budget, which basically talks about the various line items and the specific budget requests and makes a justification for why those budget requests are important. And I would say that same budget justification would apply for example, equipment requests that are part of the budget, or for subcontractor requests that are part of the budget, or for any other parts of the budget that aren't sort of standard PI and graduate student salaries, which of course also need some budget justification for the amounts asked for PI support and graduate student support. Here's an easy one. Will the video record be shared here? Yes, the video record and slides will be shared on the webinar page that you originally went to sign up for the webinar once everything is finished. Has anyone else been sort of tracking these and see any important questions that I haven't been answered?
I would like to for us to discuss the answer for the following question. Somebody asked, can you speak of the balance between the granularity of the technical details versus the articulation of grand challenges and problem spaces in a large proposal as opposed to small and mediums? In the slides, Eric was making the point that really the proposal should really feel like you're tackling this large scope project, that it doesn't really fit a medium of a small, and that requires this synergistic collaboration between the different personnel. So it is you have to put in the proposal, you have to make your own case, and how much space you put into each, that's up to you, but you really need to make that case very clearly.
And I think another important thing that should, of course, be clear if you've submitted other proposals to the NSF is that your audience for this proposal is the panel, because NSF is very invested in peer review, using the panel system to get peer review information before that we use when we make our recommendations for funding. And so really one primary audience of the proposal that you're submitting is to the panel that will be reviewing it. And so anything you can do to make it more clear to the panel what it is you're proposing to do, why this team is important to doing that research, and why it's an important subject to be exploring is valuable, because we do take our panel advice very seriously when we make our funding recommendations. And so anything you can do to make it more clear to the panel what it is that you're trying to do and why it's important will be valuable. Let's see, I think we had a couple of questions submitted earlier before the webinar, and I need to go find my email. Hector, do you want to answer a couple other questions while I'm searching?
Sure. In the meantime, I'm promoting Jill Denner as a panelist. I just did, because she's involved in the BPCs and she'll be able to help us out. So I just promoted Jill. Are you, let me see. Edgar, can you help me, please? She's here. Hi, Jill. Welcome.
Thank you. Hi.
Jill, we've had a number. Go ahead.
We have a number of questions related to BPC. If you could help us out, because a lot of PIs are interested on that specific topic. I don't know if you're able to see the questions that are posted.
I don't see any chat questions that were there before I came on.
Oh,
I see.
These would be in the Q&A, not in the chat, if that makes a difference. But I think there's a sort of a general sense from the panelists that they don't quite understand the connected plans versus the standalone plans. The solicitation is clear that if not all institutions have a verified BPC plan, that the standalone plan is what must be used. But there were some lingering questions about whether that three-page standalone plan was one per proposal or one per institution, and how to think about these BPC plans when there may be multiple institutions involved in the proposed activities.
Lots of good questions. So yes, the standalone plans, just one plan for the entire proposal, a three-page BPC plan for the entire proposal if it's a standalone plan. They're only separate plans if they're using connected plans, because each institution would have to have a verified BPC plan that they are referring to.
But Jill, they, even in that scenario, they only submit one BPC plan for the entire collaboration.
For a standalone, yes.
No, even for connected, there is really a two-page that covers all the institutions that are participating, plus the departmental or institutional BPC plans, correct? And in other words, not each institution has to submit the same document over and over and over.
Right. Right. Each institution must include their verified, if they're doing a connected plan, each institution must have a verified BPC plan, department plan, and that must be included in the document. And then in addition to that, each institution must indicate how they're working on leveraging that verified department plan. I know it's very confusing. There's a description in the solicitation, obviously, as well as bpcnet.org provides very, very specific steps and details and examples for all of these things. And so I know it's kind of abstract to think about, but I really recommend if you are going to do a connected plan, that's fantastic. It means your departments all have verified department plans. Go to bpcnet.org and they have some really great instructions there for you.
Okay, two other questions that Jill, thank you for joining us. This is perfect. We have a question on whether a connected BPC plan can be linked to a school level verified plan, or does it have to be department level? I think the answer is a verified plan is a verified plan.
So when we say verified, there's very specific guidelines for verified. Verified means that the plan was submitted to the folks at bpcnet.org, which I just mentioned, and that they have, quote, verified it using all the criteria that they lay out very clearly in their website. And so those plans are all listed in the as examples, and they're listed on their website. So you can see them there. So it has to be verified in that way from BPCNet.
But it doesn't necessarily have to be a department if there's a school level verified plan. The verified is the important part, not the department part.
Verified, as long as it meets whatever criteria BPCNet or whatever you want to call it, it has to meet those criteria on bpcnet.org. So again, go there and see what those criteria are.
Yeah. Hector, your hand is up.
Yes, another question for Jill. If one participating university has a verified BPC departmental plan, but a collaborating university does not have it, then what should they do?
They need to use a standalone plan. They can only use a connected plan if all the institutions have a verified department plan. And again, BPCNet has a great flow chart that shows, you know, what about this situation? What do I do? What about this situation? What do I do? So hopefully that will answer those questions. Yeah.
And then we have a question about what to do about a BPC plan if you have co-PIs from non-computing departments. So if you have a co-PI from a department of chemistry, they very likely don't have a broadening participation in computing plan because they're a chemistry department. I believe the answer is that you are now required to have a standalone plan. Is that true, Jill?
Yeah. So we are talking again about the large core program, right? This varies a bit in sub areas, but yes. If you're applying to computing funding, even if you're not in a computing department, you're still expected to do something, again, very modest, probably, around broadening participation in computing.
Wonderful. I'm going to switch gears ever so slightly. We had a question submitted prior to the webinar. We plan to have a number of case studies across diverse application domains, environmental science, healthcare, arts, et cetera, to facilitate our research efforts on remote collaboration. These diverse application domains might result in the proposal appearing unfocused. What do you recommend? I think the answer is partly contained in what I said earlier, that one of your primary audiences for this proposal is the panel. And so anything you can do to help the panelists understand what you're doing will increase your chances of success. So I think if you standard advice for proposal writing, if you give this proposal to a somewhat related colleague and they can't quite understand what you're up to, then it probably isn't focused enough. So I think the answer is if the panel understands what you're doing, they will be more inclined to think highly of it. So spend as much time as you need to make sure that the panelists understand what the proposed research is and why that seemingly unfocused collaboration is in fact key to what you're doing. Let's see, do we have any other questions that look like maybe different than the ones we've answered already? Someone is asking what a verified BPC plan entails. The answer is VPCnet.org is your clearinghouse for all things verified in VPC. And there are a tremendous number of interesting resources there on how your department or your college can have their VPC plan verified. Hector.
There is an interesting question for the panelists. Says, could you please elaborate on how the program defines what a grand challenge is? So they're asking us what a grand challenge is. Let me make a first take, and then please colleagues jump in. So it's up to the proposal to make the case that this is a difficult worldwide problem that requires the combination of multiple people to work on that problem. And this is really up to you, PI, to make the case in the proposal. So indeed, we don't provide guidance of what the grand challenge will be, and we did it on purpose. We wanted to open for the community to, you know, they have a problem that is difficult, that is important, and they are welcome to tackle that problem through this solicitation.
Hector, I think one of the things you said there was really important, which is we really, as a working group developing the solicitation, we talked about this and we made a very conscious decision not to list grand challenge problems specifically because we want you to tell us what the grand challenge problems are in your area. We didn't want to influence the direction that you were going, hoping that you would match our priorities. We really want to hear from you. What are the grand challenge problems in your area and why those problems require a larger scale investment from the NSF in order to help make progress on those problems? Behrouz.
So it seems like the PPC plan questions continue and there's some ambiguity. So I would like to clarify something with Jill. Jill, consider a collaborative proposal, multiple institutions involved. For the standalone case, it's clear that there is one document that explains everybody's participation in that BPC effort. Now, for the connected, there is still some ambiguity. Is there going to be one two-page document plus all the departmental plans submitted for the entire three or four or five institutions, or does each institution must have their own two-page BPC plan plus their departmental BPC plan? Does that make sense?
Yes. So yes, two pages for the entire group because they're only answering a small piece of all those questions. So two pages should be sufficient, even if there's multiple institutions, because their departmental plans have all the other details. You know, they have
those departmental plans. Mm-hmm. Those departmental plans are on bpcnet.org, so those do not have to be resubmitted along with the proposal.
No, they do.
Oh, they do. No, never mind. Scratch that. Erase that part of the recording, please.
They do. We don't expect the reviewers to go to BPCNet and look them up. They're listed on BPCNet. I mentioned that because it's a resource for those of you who want to see what a verified departmental plan includes. There's plenty to look at there. So two pages describes all the different PI roles at the different institutions and refers to the plans that are also submitted in supplementary documents.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jill.
Thank you, Jill.
We have a couple of questions that are not related to BPC that are, I think, related questions. One attendee is asking if there will be discipline-specific panels or should proposals be written for a broad CS audience? And then a related question, how, if at all, do we indicate that our proposal spreads across multiple divisions or will the program manager panel decide on that? So the answer is that for each of the three solicitation rounds, the first one being this year, February 28th, one of the three divisions will sort of take charge of sorting and paneling these proposals as they come in. And so for this first round, the CNS division will be taking charge only because it's much easier from our point of view if one of the divisions is organizing the panels and keeping track of where things are binned. But Depending on the number of proposals we receive, we fully expect to have multiple panels with different, I'll say, flavors to the panel. And so that will be up to us to try and figure out. If you can give us some support by putting strong keywords in your summary so that we can tell which divisions your research is spanning, that would greatly appreciated by us as we try and put these proposals into panels that make sense in terms of the expertise of the panelists. But by the nature of potentially multidisciplinary proposals in a program like this, the panels will sort of naturally be broader than, say, a small program panel where we can more tightly organize the proposals into panels. So I would say that, yes, we will do our best to combine the proposals into panels where the panelists do have some expertise. Yes, you should also maybe consider these panels to be a little more general than a small or medium panel. And you may want to spend just a little extra time in your 20 pages making sure that a panelist who has some expertise in size areas but might not be an expert in exactly this research can understand the importance of this proposal area. Let's see, we've got about 4 minutes left. Hector, you had your hand up and then it came down. Were you going to say something?
There was a question on BPC, but for Gio, since you wanted to track, let me just ask the question then. This is for Gio, and I think it was answered before, but Gio, can you please answer again? Can a connected BPC plan be linked to a school level verified plan, or this has to be a departmental level verified plan?
Yeah, so again, if it meets the criteria that's listed for what a verified, what they're calling departmental plan is, whether it's school or department is less important. So look at the criteria for what a verified departmental plan needs to meet and see if that's consistent.
We have two late arriving questions that are exactly the same. Is it helpful in this program for the PIs to suggest reviewers given the breadth of the solicitation? And the answer is absolutely yes. You are always encouraged to submit as part of your larger proposal submission to actually include suggested reviewers. And I think that for a program like this, where we are expecting at least some multidisciplinary proposals that span different areas than we normally see, it's even more important to get your suggestions for reviewers. I will also say that you know, the National Science Foundation also takes conflicts of interest very seriously. And so we will be spending quite a bit of time trying to organize panelists who don't have conflicts with the proposals that are submitted. And so any help we can get to identify sort of panelist ideas of people who have broad areas of expertise would also be greatly appreciated. So yes, please do fill out the suggested reviewers portion of your submission. Hector.
Two things are really very helpful when we are trying to decide where to panel a proposal. One is the keywords. So please put a lot of attention to that. And the other one is the panel summary, the project summary. So we do look into those to try to classify and where we will put. So those two things, the keywords and the project summary, please put a lot of attention into that, because that will help us try to classify and group the proposal with other proposals on similar topics.
There's one last question. Should multidisciplinary proposals be explicitly marked as such in the title of the proposal, such as large SHF plus HCC? If you look in the solicitation, there is a section on proposal titles, and that section doesn't specifically say that you should include divisions. And so I would say the answer is no, don't muddy up your title with extra division letters. But please do, as Hector said, include keywords that will help us bin these into the appropriate panels. The title should be the acronym SIZE, C-I-S-E, followed by a colon, followed by large, followed by the title of your project. And so please follow those directions so that everything is appropriate. I see we've come up on the top of the hour, and I do want to sort of respect all the time of all of our panelists and thank you all for participating. I hope that this was helpful. As I mentioned at the beginning, we will be uploading not only the slides, but the recording of this webinar to the webinar registration page. That's the page that you went to register. That will not be up in the next 5 minutes, but it will be up soon so that you can review this. And as always, if you have other questions that we didn't answer, or if you have questions that come up later, please don't hesitate to contact any of those of us who are on this panel, Hector or Anne or Shankar or Danella or Jill or myself. We would be happy to answer questions that come up later. So thank you all for attending. It's wonderful to see so many people attending the webinar. So we hope that we get some wonderful proposals submitted to this program. Speaking for myself, I mean, I think we're all very excited to see what kinds of things you're going to propose in this new large projects program. So thank you all. Good luck. Happy writing. And thank you for attending.